They're like waves in the sea or ripples from a stone dropped into a pond. There's a ruddy, great big event in space, like two black holes colliding, or even the birth of our universe at the Big Bang. If we're continuing with our pond analogy, a massive stone, heck, a boulder, would have been dropped in, and you can imagine loads of ripples propagating out. And this disturbance creates waves and ripples across the fabric of space-time. So, if you dance around like me, you're actually creating gravitational waves. David Marsh at Cambridge University and myself thought this idea was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Undetectably small, but nevertheless, you're creating gravitational waves in it.
The effect of this ripple bends and stretches space and time, and the one detected shook detectors for 20 milliseconds. So does that mean as a gravitational wave passes through me, I get momentarily skinnier and taller, or fatter and shorter, or albeit for a fraction of a second? John Kaufman from the University of California, San Diego.
Yeah, but this is sort of the funny part, and this is what really makes LIGO so incredible, is that the ways in which you would tell if you were taller or shorter, or fatter or skinnier, would also stretch. So your ruler would stretch.
And in part, that's why they've been so difficult to detect. Massive, huge, ruddy, great big things only distort space-time by the width of a proton. Despite being seemingly unimaginably tiny objects, Einstein somehow dreamt them up.
Gravitational waves are a prediction from Einstein's general theory of relativity, which he produced 100 years ago. And this was one of the final parts of his theory, which had yet to be proven. And now that we have made this dissection, we have proved that gravitational waves exist 100 years after their prediction.
Very timely indeed, isn't it? Was that deliberate?
No, it's not deliberate, of course, but it is very timely, and it is wonderful that has happened on the 100th anniversary.
Norna Robertson there from Caltech University. By the way, we will be hearing more from all these guys later in the programme in more detail, so just bear with me. Now, Isaac Newton explained how an apple fell from a tree, that objects with mass were attracted to each other, but not why. And this is where Einstein comes in. Einstein said, hey, the reason they're attracted to each other is because massive objects bend the fabric of space-time. David Marsh again.
One way to think about it is that space-time is like a mattress, if you wish. And if you place a very heavy object on this mattress, it will sink down and the mattress around it will bend upwards. So that's what happens in gravity. So if you have a heavy object, any heavy object, like me.
Or even something like the sun.
Or even the sun, even a little bit more heavy.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Bend space-time around it.
This takes us to Robin's question about gravity, Einstein and Newton. Newton thought gravity was a force. Einstein thought that massive objects, the sun, the moon, the stars, and in David's analogy, a bowling ball, create a curvature in space-time, and this is what we feel as gravity. In general relativity, gravity isn't a force between masses. It's an effect of the warping of space-time. If we return to gravitational waves, when massive objects collide, they create ripples across the fabric of space-time, just like if you dropped that bowling ball on a sheet. And we've been trying to detect these things, these ripples, for donkey's years. People have spent their entire careers working on this.